Welcome to the golf edition of Hooked on Sport. This is South Australia's Summer Golf Wrap, where we uncover the stories, personalities and moments that define golf across South Australia and beyond. It's time to talk golf with sports commentator Ben Hook and State Golf Representative Sophie Hill.
Thank you, Wallace. Hello, everyone. It is time to talk local South Australian pennant golf. I'm doing it with Sophie and all of the expertise and insight that she brings into this form of the game. And Sophie, hello. I'm still yet to see my Masters-themed dinner party invite. You better get that out quickly to me because I imagine it's happening over the weekend, is it?
Have you checked your junk mail? Have you made sure you've checked all the different letterboxes, pigeons, everything? Still not there?
Everywhere. I've been to every possible spammy part of the email I can find and, yeah, obviously didn't make the cut. I presume Wallace is going, though.
Of course. I've got to introduce the producer to all my friends and make sure that he's well known. But the co-host that argues with me every single week, funny enough, didn't get an invite. But I can tell you what, I'm cooking up an absolute storm and I'll send you a photo of some of the food for you.
Tell us what he's been prepared.
I can't tell you, Hookie. It's an absolute dead secret for all my guests that are invited. And I say all because there's lots of them coming. I think Sarah might score an invite.
Is there anything related to what Rory presented at the Champions dinner on Tuesday night?
Oh, it's not that spiffy. Some of the wine and the champagne that he's serving isn't getting served at my house. But there might be a sneaky link there to my boy Rory McIlroy. And you know what, Hookie, you'll have to wait and see when you check the social media pages on Saturday morning.
Well, on Sunday morning, you have got a really important clash against Blackwood. When the Sanderson Cup resumes, it will be round four. It's at the Grange, so therefore the Grange has the week off. Massive game for you guys. How are you feeling about it?
Feeling pretty good. I'm actually feeling very excited because we're playing the Live Grange course and I've never played the composite course at Grange. So I'm incredibly excited. I've watched it in person and I've watched it on TV, but this will be the first time that I'm actually playing a combination of the two courses and boy, am I excited, Hookie.
I'm in charge of the preview here. So look, a win for either team, you stay alive. A loss, definitely fatal for Blackwood. And a massive mortal wound for you guys. Look, on paper, it's Royal Adelaide, right? Reagan comes back. The only issue I've got with Reagan, this will be a huge come down for her. I mean, she has lived on cloud nine for every bit of the last 2 weeks. I still think she wins. But I reckon if I'm Ebony Riordan, I'm very, very happy getting Reagan this week of all weeks. Because I just reckon if there's ever a time where, look, she's a young kid who's had the most incredible worldly experience. And coming back to local pennant golf, it'll take everything for her to be really fully focused. I just reckon if Blackwood has a course that suits them best that isn't Blackwood, it's actually at Grange. It's sort of the least quirky. It's not that it lacks character, but I think it's a lot more what you see is what you get at Grange, and I think that's going to suit Blackwood more than it would any other course, Royal Adelaide, Glenelg, or if they were playing at Cooyonga. So from that perspective, Soph, I don't think this is the best draw for Royal Adelaide. And I've got a question for you. If you were Blackwood, how would you handle Reagan? So do you think it's a good idea just to go in batting order? Or do you think that there's an argument to be said that maybe you just send Angela Masters out there, almost take the L against Reagan, because it doesn't really matter who you play against Reagan. If Reagan plays her game, she's going to beat anyone. And I just reckon that would be interesting to see the shuffle it would create. Ebony plays you. Now, I reckon you're a slight favourite still in there, but that's a really good match, right? Gail plays Laura. That's a really interesting contest. The bomber versus the short game chef. What can Gail cook up, you know? Isabel Watson, she's been their banker at four. Do you leave her there or do you move her up to three? I reckon she's a bad matchup for anyone. And then you've probably got Hannah, maybe, who plays at five if you've got Gail at three. Now, I know that's not the done thing in women's pennant, but geez, I reckon if I was running Blackwood's pennant program, that would be a question I would have to ask. Would I shuffle that around? So I just reckon against that backdrop, your lineup shape takes greater meaning. I'm interested to see if Sammy Davis Jr. is back. That's, of course, Eliza Bartlett, the leader of the Brat Pack. You get the win at one, you only, and you get the win at two, you only need one from three, four, and five. So, you know, is it the Brat Pack boss who gets it done? Is it Morrison? Is it De Silva? Is it someone else from the garage band? You know, it's hard to handle a matchup. They may not love those guys, but can you find one win from the Brat Pack? I think that's going to be the big interesting question, in particular if they play the concession card against Reagan.
Hookie, you're asking me some silly questions. Why would I be telling you what I think Blackwood should be doing when they're coming against my team and this gets released on a Friday and we play on the Sunday? I'm not going to start suggesting things to Blackwood Golf Club. I love the Blackwood girls. I always love having a game with them. I'm often playing with Gail and Angela and the ADF vs. Golf South Australia game. But in this instance, I'm not going to provide them any assistance, Hookie.
My must-win, Soph, is you. I think you're going to get a win out of Reagan. You've got to find one out of the Brat Pack, as I said, but it all hinges on what you can do. And if you are playing against Gail McPherson, which is probably the obvious matchup if you look at recent history of Pennant Golf, that's a critical matchup. And I feel like, is the only real banker outside of Reagan. And if you can get Reagan, you can get you. I reckon the other three are good for a point somewhere. So you're my must win for Royal Adelaide. For Blackwood, it's Isabel Watson. She's taking on her own club. Hannah, that's Hannah Custance, Gail McPherson, Ebony Riordan, and Ange Masters are all 0-2 this year. Isabel Watson has scored all of their points, 1.5 wins from her two matches. So I just reckon Isabel Watson is the real key factor. If she can get her point, I don't know the way Black would do it. Like I said, I'd be mixing it up a bit if I was them. But I just reckon she's got to be the banker for Blackwood if they're going to get over the line against you guys. My tip, it's you, Royal Adelaide, to win 3.5, 1.5. But I think this has got some legs on it. I don't think this is just a walk-up start for you guys. I'm going to be fun to watch, I reckon.
Hookie, this is the first time you've ever picked Royal Adelaide. So, look, we will take it for a tip from Hookie. All the years of I've been listening to this podcast, you've never picked Royal Adelaide. So thank you for finally coming on board and picking us. I still remember last year when I wasn't co-hosting this podcast and often picked against Royal Adelaide and we often proved you wrong. So I'm glad you've finally come on board and you've decided, yep, you know what? We're actually not that bad of a team and we're not that bad of a squad and you've picked us. But even with picking us, you've told me you're not set on it.
I think it's going to be a good match. And if I was Blackwood, I'd be playing silly buggers and seeing how much they can get in your guys' heads. But what I want in your head is some information from you about Glenelg taking on Cooyonga, which is the other match in the Sanderson Cup this week. What are your first thoughts?
Huge game. Huge game for both clubs. Glenelg, this is their last chance. They only have one win on the board, which came against Blackwood last week. So they're definitely riding on a high. They're a strong team, but they've lost their number five, Grace Ferrier, who's currently over in Europe travelling, and that's a bit of a shame. I'm also interested to see how much their team might be slightly impacted by the Junior Interstate Series, which is currently getting played, and we'll have a few juniors out in the Sanderson Cup, as well as the Simpson Cup. So it's a bit of an interesting one, both for Cooyonga and Sanderson, and Glenelg, for that matter, because both teams, I expect we'll be missing a few players and that's going to have a massive impact on what the result of this game is going to be. But Glenelg need a win. And to be honest, Cooyonga do too. They only have one win on the board, but yet they still have another game in hand. Look, for me, I'm going to jump straight to my must wins. And for Cooyonga Golf Club, I have to go Emily Giotis. I think she's going to be playing Sarah Crocker, who's having an absolutely outstanding season at the moment. She's on a complete heater. Glenelg have actually moved her up the order. She was playing down lower up the order. And you know what? Last week, she accepted that challenge and absolutely went to town on her opponent. So for me, Emily Giotis needs to knock Sarah Crocker off her current high horse because it is incredible. She's playing incredible golf. And I think Emily has a real task at hand. Glenelg,
yep.
For me, Zoe Manton at number one needs to knock off the queen of Kionga Golf Club, Matilda Miles. She's what, a five-time club champion, and she really does lead that team. She's a well-respected member of the Kionga Golf Club. She has been in that pennant team for years and years. She's playing incredible golf. I think Zoe Manton, off the high of Augusta National and watching Reagan Denton do incredible things and watching her best mate, I hope she's got some matching yellow and black ribbons for Glenelg, but I think she has to knock off the queen of Kionga Golf Club, Matilda Miles. Ben, with all that being said, I think it's going to be a really interesting game. And this is one that I found quite hard because I think with juniors coming out, I'm interested to see the depth of both sides and who they're going to bring in. I mean, Kionga can call on people like Lynn, who is an absolutely outstanding pennant player. I wouldn't want to play her because she knows all these courses inside out. She's played over 100 games at Sanderson Cup level. So I would be worried.
For people who don't listen to us a lot, you play, what, five games a year? So you five do the games maths. A year. Over 100 games when you're only playing five or so matches a year.
It's huge. West Glenelg, I think, will be calling on a few more of their juniors, which they have in the side wings. And I always find juniors are really, really challenging because they don't have any fears. They don't have any nightmares. They go for pins, which is dangerous in match play because they don't care if they get a triple bogey, but they will get a lot of birdies. So I think this is going to be a really interesting matchup. For me, I think Glenelg gets it done over Kionga Golf Club. I think I'm going to go Glenelg. It was a tight call. I think it will be a really tight match. I think the result will be 3-2. But Glenelg off the high of last week against Blackwood, and they had a smashing. I'm going to have to lean towards them.
Well done. I've got Kionga here. I'm really interested in Jill Hodge. So Jill Hodge has been not performing at her best in a team that's been very, very successful. And as you pointed out, Grace Ferry is going to be missing. The gauntless granny, I call her, Jill Hodge. She doesn't fear anything in this format of the game, but I just reckon they start to need to get a point out of her. But I'm going to go Kionga 3.5, 1.5. So we disagree here, but this is going to be... they're playing for their lives, the base, and when you're backed into a corner, it's a type of team that are very, very likely to fight back. Crocker's been in great form. Manton's a good player, so yeah, that'll be a really interesting watch. Let's shift across to the Simpson Cup. So if we're going to begin with the Grange taking on Mount Osmond. I'm in charge of the review and the first thoughts here. I've got to say, this is match of the day for me in the men. And I reckon if you'd asked me what the match of the day was going to be for this round a month ago, the Grange and Mount Osmond would not have fit the bill. But suddenly this is the two best informed teams in the competition. They're the only two teams who've won the last 2 weeks, which goes to show just how even the competition is. But who would have thought that Mount Osmond would be one of the two best formed teams in the competition as we get to round six? So this is the all-conquering Grange taking on the Cinderella story. For the Grange, it's great to see the Crowbar, Ross Steedman, back in form. Happy birthday to you, Ross. I noticed it was your 30th birthday this week. Alex Hendrick is a new dad, so that's pretty exciting for him. The second new arrival of a child for the Grange, because Darren Baines was a new dad a little bit earlier in the year as well. So it's been certainly the season of reproduction for the Grange boys. Alan's in. I call him the slight delight. He's just a little kid, but he is playing absolutely superbly at the moment. He's 5 from 5, and he's on track for 7 from 7. I don't reckon, since I've been keeping the stats on it, which goes back to about 2017, that there's been any man who has won 7 from 7. Sam Earl may have done it once. I'll go and have a look at that. But, so they've got stars everywhere. Mount Osmond have to know that they're safe, and it would be really easy to accept their fate here. I think what's important for Mount Osmond is that Andrew Edwards and Ben Walters, they're 7 and 6. They're the experienced guys who I think can bring everyone else along for the ride. So if they start well and they just look good on the tee and they get their, you know, their first drive away, probably going to be on the 10th East, I presume, Soph, would that be right if we're playing the LIV course? So if both of those boys can, you know, hit a nice one, shape it a little bit right to left around the corner, I just reckon that brings everyone along. So those two guys, how they play, going to be really important. My must win for Mount Osmond, it's Andrew Edwards. He'll be the first guy out. Like I said, he's the scene setter. I remember back when I was involved in Mount Osmond, we used him at seven all the time because he's a bit of a presence. He's got a bit of a swagger. And look, he might play Darren Baines. He might play Declan Nunn. Not really sure who that is. I think Alex Hendrick is out because of the recent arrival of his little child. So I'm not 100% sure on that, but I imagine Declan Nunn will come in. If he's got Baines, it's a really tough ask. But if he's got Nunn, I think he can beat him, and I think he has to beat him. I think if Mount Osmond are going to get close here, it's going to really rely on some early wins. And then for the Grange, my must win is Jackson Bogdowski. Huge reputation, former pro, and he has had five really, really close matches, all of them right on the edge, all have gone to at least the 17th. He's having thriller fatigue, I reckon, Jackson Bogdowski. But just listen to this. Beat Grant Tobias 1-up, beat Billy White 2-1, lost to Nick Waite 2-1, beat Bob Liddell 2-1, lost to Malachi Marshall 2-1. Now, none of those are disgraces. You know, who was he lost to? Nick Wake. I mean, you know, the greatest senior in the history of the game. Give him a walking stick and he'd still shoot 68. And Malachi, who's one of the great rising stars of the game. But Jackson Bogdowski for me is just a bit of a watch, you know. Like, can he be the guy as we head into the pointy end of the season that plays to his reputation and start to really dominate matches? So the fact that all five of his have gone to 17 suggests that he might have another gear to go up, and he's one that I'll be watching and very concerned about if he does get it done against Mount Osmond. My tip, Soph, I'm going to go the Grange 5.5, Mount Osmond 1.5. I reckon there's some points there for Mount Osmond, but Grange at Grange, probably the toughest challenge for a Tier 2 club right now. They're in such good form. They've got such good depth, and they know their own course so well. Playing the live course, they'll be fine. Back of the hand for them. Everyone else will be just that little bit awkward. So 5.5, 1.5 for me. Got a tip for me in this one?
Leaning exactly the same way, I have also gone Grange. I think it's hard to beat Grange at the home course, and I think the live composite really works in their favour. Should we head over to the next game, which is Glenelg playing Thaxted Park?
What are your first thoughts?
First thoughts are, look, Glenelg need this win. You could say Thaxted Park need it as well, but unfortunately, I feel like Thaxted Park really is fighting relegation at the moment with no wins on the board and Mount Osmond having such an incredible run of wins at the moment. So I think Thaxted Park, regardless, are going to be probably the ones to get relegated, unfortunately. But they are starting to look a bit more hotter at the end of this season. But look, Glenelg, they need a win. Both bays in Sanderson and Simpson, these are important games for those boys. Glenelg had a narrow loss against Kionga Golf Club at their home course last week, 4-3, and they were all particularly close matches. But look, I think Grange, the composite course, is going to suit Glenelg. They know how to play bunkers because there's got so many bunkers down at Glenelg Golf Club. So playing the 10th hole at Grange East and playing that back nine of Grange East is really going to work into the favour of Glenelg being a little bit tighter and some clever bunkering going around those courses. So my top pick for Glenelg that needs to get the win is going to be Mick Phillips. He's in some pretty good form, but if you looked at the Cooey match, the Cooey boys at the bottom of the order, and I'm specifically looking at Freddie Castle, and I told him last week that I expected a bit more for him, and he definitely turned up and got the job done. But Glenelg lost those last three matches, and it's really what turned the tables for those Glenelg boys. So I think the bottom end of that order needs to get off to a hot start and let the boys know that they're here to play and they're going to get the dub. So Mick Phillips playing at number five is who I'm going to pick. For Thaxted Park, I'm going to pick their number one, Pacey Lyle. I think he needs to knock off Glenelg's golden boy, Cade Bryant. He needs to get a win over that absolute star of Glenelg Golf Club and a boy that they're often leaning on a little bit. So for me, it's Pacey Lyle. I think he can get the job done. He's been performing pretty well. He's been giving those boys at the top end of Simpson a real run for their money. A lot of them have been particularly close matches. So I do think that he has the capabilities to knock Kay Bryant off. But for me, my tip, I'm sorry, Thaxted Park, but I'm going to have to go Glenelg. I think that Glenelg get the win.
Yeah, Glenelg 6-1 for me. So, and I think that this will be the last right thread on Thaxted Park's wonderful run in Simpson Cup, and they'll have a year in A2. And wouldn't be surprised to see them bounce back very quickly because there's a lot of talent in and around that club. But yeah, I do feel like that Glenelg will be a bit hot for them at the Grange. The Vines take on Tea Tree Gully, Soph. And if you reckon that the Glenelg Thaxted Park was a bit of last chance saloon, well, this is absolutely the same for the Vines here, all on the table. In fact, it feels to me like this is where Glenelg was at about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and Glenelg have responded. And I certainly believe that the Vines can respond as well, but they need to take a little bit of individual ownership. I mean, these guys are it. Tony Nobbs, the Grand Chancellor of the Vines and the Grand Chancellor of this entire competition, he's wounded and he's probably not coming back to lead you all to the promised land. It's like you've booked a tradie to fix a leak in your roof, but it's about to rain and he hasn't shown up. You've got to do it yourself. So Ben Pearce, Corey Apthorpe, Bob Liddell, Chris Burns. Boys, if you want to play semi-finals, it is in your hands. For Tea Tree Gully, this is an incredible test of their mental resolve. I mean, you lose 7-0. It doesn't matter how mentally strong you are. That just takes a little bit of bark off, I reckon. So probably a good time for a week off for them. I mean, I like Dylan Reed. He got in contact with me after they went down 7-0. So Dylan Reed's the pennant manager for Tea Tree Gully. And very matter of fact, no ride axe. She's all cool like Fonzie here. It was great leadership. But are they free of those little demons that can cloud your mind like that? Must wins. I'm going to go Ben Pearce for the Vines. He can cut up this place. He will love the Grange. He's a free swinger. He's long off the tee. He can turn par fives into par fours. He can turn par fours into chip and putts with second shots and approaches. So I just reckon he'll take on Matt McMahon. He's had a little bit of a speed bump himself in the last fortnight. Special mention to the King, of course. He slipped off the throne in the last few weeks, but I expect to see Earl do his business against Chris Austin. But I just reckon it's Ben Pearce, the guy for me, who's been in reasonable form without really dominating. I want to see him dominate this week, and I think he gets a chance to do so against a good player, but someone who I think is gettable like Matt McMahon. For Tea Tree Gully, it's the Mongoose. Who's the Mongoose? That's Ben Hallam. Because Ben Hallam is the guy they send out to kill the snake of the opposition, the head of the opposition. He spent the first half of the year cutting off all of the heads off snakes, and I just reckon that he's the guy that they need to get it done last week. Now, the High Priest of Fairview Park, Sadira Bodadu, he missed last week. I'm certain he's back this week, and he's a must win for me. He's a will win, right? I just think that he'll get the job done. But for Tea Tree Gully, for the bounce back, it's the Mongoose Ben Hallam that I want to see him get it done. He's probably going to get Fibig or Liddell. He's had plenty of tougher matchups than this, and he's performed really well against those big names. He'll front up at 3, I reckon, Hallam, behind McMahon and Austin. I just reckon for Tea Tree Gully to put this challenge to bed, the Mongoose needs a good day.
Fair tip. Enough, Ben. And what's your tip?
Tip for me, Tea Tree Gully, 4.5, 2.5. Just reckon they're a bit strong, Tea Tree Gully. Yeah, that would have spun their heads a little bit going down 7-0 last week. But good quality team, a lot of depth. Expect them to win 4.5, 2.5. Your tip?
Tea Tree Gully as well. I think it's actually a bit more of a demolishment. I'm going 5-2, but I think Tea Tree are strong and I think they'll bounce back very easily from that 7-0.
Let's round it out with Cooyonga taking on Royal Adelaide. There is so much energy in this contest. What are your first thoughts?
Oh, I love a Cooyonga Royal Adelaide match. And I love that you've given it to me. I love a rival, and this is definitely a rival. I think even if these boys were a lock for finals and there was no question for either of these clubs, which there's definitely a question mark next to both of them, I don't think they'd care. They'd be fighting to the death. Royal want to beat Cooyonga. Cooyonga want to beat Royal Adelaide. There is definitely blood that's been drawn between these two golf clubs, and they love the fight. They love the pride of winning against one of these clubs. The only thing they like more is if Royal beats Kui at Kui and Kui beats Royal at Royal. That's the only time that they'd prefer this win. But look, I'm excited for this matchup. I think it's a really, really good matchup and going to be an excellent game. I think Royal playing at Grange, I think they might have the slight upper hand over Kionga Golf Club. Grange is, like you said, a little bit of what you see is what you get. It's open. It's not as open as Royal Adelaide, but it is definitely a little bit more open. So our Royal boys can get a little bit squirrely with their drivers. But I also think playing the composite and starting on 10, length is not necessarily going to be a massive advantage, which is what a lot of the Kui boys have. And it's a lot what the Royal boys don't necessarily have. And there'll be a bit more placement around Grange, particularly at the start of that round, which I think is going to favour the Royal boys, particularly at the bottom end of their order. And look, let's get started there. Let's get started with my must wins. I think for Kionga, it's Malachi Marshall at number two. If he's playing and not playing for the Junior Interstate Series, I think he needs to knock off our boy Billy Cawthorn. And it pains me to say that because I absolutely love Billy.
What a matchup that would be, yeah.
Oh, what a matchup. Billy is an absolute SA pennant legend. Everyone knows Billy. Billy knows everyone. He's one of the nicest boys going around, but put him on a golf course and he's against you. He is one of the vicious, most vicious boys going around. I've played match play against Billy and I can tell you now, it is not fun. You can think he's completely out of the hole and he will just make up and down from absolutely anywhere. He could be underneath a tree making up and down.
And then he sort of has that look on his face like, I didn't really mean to do that. It was a bit of an accident. And you know that he is just this silent assassin who deep down he's saying that was always coming and you were always going to die and I'm just going to enjoy watching you slowly bleed out on that green.
Sometimes I purposely think he puts his ball in the crap just to absolutely give his opponent a full sense of security and then absolutely drives the dagger in their heart. So for me, it's Malachi Marshall. He needs to get that win over Billy. The junior needs to defeat one of the veterans of SA Pennant, and that is Billy Cawthorn. But for Royal Adelaide, I'm expecting Matt Lawson. I think Matt Lawson needs to jump up a little bit more. It's a player that has often been an anchor for the Royal Adelaide Pennant team. He hasn't had his best start to the season. Yes, he's had a few better finishes towards the end of the season, but his beginning was not that flash. And Matt Lawson is often one of the players that Royal Adelaide heavily rely on down at the bottom of the order and he's not quite been doing his job. So for me, I think Matt Lawson needs to start strong. They've been playing him somewhere between anywhere 5 and 7, but Royal Adelaide have been fiddling around with their order a little bit and throwing some curveballs at us, so we can't always pick it. But I expect he will be down that bottom of the order. And I think Royal Adelaide need to get off a hot start against Kionga and let Kionga know that Royal Adelaide are here to play. Now, Ben, my tip. It's hard. It's a hard one. But knowing that it's my Royal boys, knowing that they've just had a good win the week before, and albeit Kui also had a good win, but I think Royal have found a bit of a groove. And I think Royal have been burnt in the past few years by Kionga Golf Club. I'm going back probably 2 or 3 years where Kui knocked them off in the semi-finals, which were played at Royal Adelaide home. And I think Royal's out for blood. So I'm going Royal, but I'm going 4-3. I think this is going to be a particularly close game.
Fair enough, Soph. I'm probably thinking the other way. Frank Vukic will be back for Kionga. Billy White, I presume, will miss with Junior Interstate Series. A little bit too much quality in the Kionga lineup for me, so I'm going to go Kionga. I'll say 4.5, 2.5, and that will leave Royal Adelaide on a real knife edge as they chase a semi-finals berth the week after. So, great wrap. Oh, gee, it's so much fun. I love just pouring through all of these matches with you and just trying to predict what's going to happen. It's the Simpson Cup that gets underway, I reckon, from around about 7:30 in the morning. The Sanderson Cup follows. It's all at the Grange. If you love your golf, get out and watch the stars of South Australian golf play. The men, the women, one of them is my co-host, Sophie Hilditch. So always great to lock horns with you on this sort of stuff, mate. Good luck on Sunday. We'll debrief on Monday night.
Thank you, Ben. Always a pleasure. And look, I don't have to send you a text message after my Sunday when I get my win and let you know, this is a bit disappointing, actually. I don't get to rub it in your face.
We'll be on the same side for once.
All right, Hookie, have a good night and I'll see you shortly.
Good luck, mate. Go well.
With the last putt sunk, that's a wrap on this golf edition of Hooked on Sport. Thanks for listening. Help us meet more golfers just like you by following us and leaving a review. Look forward to your company on the next golf edition of Hooked on Sport.